Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CarlGreer.com. Welcome to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. Now, I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and the soul's purpose simply from a person's name. Now, the beautiful inspirational music you just heard is called Shine by Dee Lamour, and we always end our show with her fabulous song that is Shine, and you can hear more of her music on her website, dlamour.com. It's D-L-E-M-O-R.com. Now, our topic today is archetypes and why do we have them? How many are there? How do you determine which category of archetypes apply to us? Do archetypes have both positive and negative qualities? How do we heal archetypes and what do we want to learn from them? Do archetypes appear in multiple ways? Does every category of life have an archetype? And our special guest today is Sandy Anastasi. Now, Sandy has been a professional psychic and astrologer since 1979. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree from Adelphi University and has a teaching certifications in several fields. In addition to teaching, Sandy has worked as a safety engineer and owned her own small bookstore for many years before retiring to become a full-time psychic counselor, writer, and teacher. Sandy's writings include books on astrology, Kabbalah, and Tarot, as well as psychic development. Now, she's internationally renowned, and Sandy Anastasi has established herself as one of the preeminent teachers of our time. With more than 30 years of experience, Sandy is a leading expert in psychic development, astrology, and tarot. Through Sandy's classes, workshops, lectures, and appearances, she's able to share her knowledge to help people enhance their lives. Now, Sandy was a significant contributor to psychic medium John Edwards' website, infinitequest.com, which launched in 2009 and provided valuable insight along with some of the nation's top metaphysical teachers for 3 years. She's appeared on so much radio and television and mass media. It's just been incredible. And we are so lucky to have Sandy with us today. Sandy, welcome to Luminescence.
Sharon, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I love being on your show. You have a wonderful audience and you are a fabulous host. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you. Before we get started, just to make sure that I remember to do this, you have one of the best things offered that I am partaking in and I encourage everybody else to. It's for $200. It's your membership site and so many of your classes are up there that you can go at your own pace. Would you just briefly tell us about that before we get started on archetypes?
Well, I guess the most direct way of talking about it is I've been a teacher of many, many metaphysical disciplines. You mentioned most of them for over 40 years. And during that time, all the way back even in the 1970s, I was making recordings of every class that I taught. Well, on audio, MP3, fully downloadable, every single class that I have ever taught in a 40-year career is contained in my VIP membership area. And as you said, it's only $200 a year to belong to that. It's also payable by the month. It's a little more expensive that way. But anyone who's interested in studying metaphysics will be able to obtain an entire basically a doctoral degree by studying those classes. There's nothing for better value anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing for better value. That's why I want to make sure I brought that out to everybody. Okay, archetypes, and why do we have them? Let's start at the very beginning, like what is an archetype? What are we talking about before we jump in really deep?
That is something which is really interesting. If you're addressing that question to me, I'm probably going to confuse your audience. So you may want to go first, and then I'll follow up from that.
Well, an archetype to me is like a pattern, and there's so many patterns that exist in our universe, and an archetype is a pattern of behavior that is one of the main patterns of behavior. I believe that's what mythology is about. That's what mnemology science is about. That's what math is about. They're all patterns. And so an archetype, though, specifically relates to a particular personality or behavior type, is my understanding. What would you say with that, and how would you like to add to that?
Well, I fully agree with that. And the most interesting thing, though, is what particular science or theoretical discipline would you be referring to? As an astrologer, I can look at each one of the astrological signs and understand its personality and say, well, that personality description is an archetype for everyone who's born in that sign. It doesn't totally define them, but it gives them a base of a personality. So essentially, each astrological sign is an archetype for that sign. In mythology, Joseph Campbell talked about the hero's journey. And in that journey, he went through a whole series of archetypes that are literally based on mythological characters. In the Kabbalah, we have 10 different, call them names of God, that would be each Sephiroth or station on the Tree of Life that has an entirely different personality than all of the others. In the Bible, the Old Testament, they'll often say this is this particular face of God, or when God acts like this, we use this name for that aspect of God. Well, those are actually archetypes that we can actually see in our own personality. Carl Jung, who is often called the father of astrology because he was both a psychologist as well as an astrologer. A lot of people don't know that. And he evolved probably is the most, I guess, the most famous for creating the archetypes. He actually created 12 of them that he boiled eventually down to 7 that were fairly simple to figure out. But again, I want to point that whether you're looking at psychology, whether you're looking at astrology, whether you're looking at mnemology, you're going to find different patterns, different templates for archetypes. And there, from what I've studied, there are overlaps, but some of them will have 12 archetypes that they divide all mankind into. Some only have 4 archetypes they divide all mankind into. So it really gets to which philosophy are you looking at in order to be able to understand yourself through that archetype? The Enneagram is another one of them.
Well, I was going to say in Jungian, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, psychology, he always said that an archetype was like a primitive mental image that's inherited from the earliest human ancestors, and it's supposed to be present in our collective unconscious. I think so many others are all built off of his basics or his premises.
Well, I think you're right. And I also think that, remember, things like the Kabbalah came a whole lot before Jung. Okay. So did astrology.
Yeah, totally.
So, and Jung was an avid student of astrology and an astrologer himself. So I'm suspecting that he built his archetypes off of those more ancient disciplines. And then a lot of people in these modern disciplines built their discussion of archetypes off of his. It's one of those things that, you know, it's a tree with many, many branches. But I think it's really important to know which discipline you're getting your archetypes from and understand specific, you know, for example, if I want to study the Joseph Campbell map, pull in a map, I'm going to look at the archetypes that Joseph Campbell put forward, and I'm going to thoroughly understand them and find out where do I fit in that. before I go on to study the Jungian archetypes. And what'll happen is when I thoroughly understand the Jungian ones, which are going to have some overlap to the Joseph Campbell ones, the mythology ones, and what'll happen is I'm going to more clearly define myself by looking at these different disciplines, discussions of their archetypes, and then finding where's that common denominator. But you really have to involve yourself pretty deeply before you find yourself in them. And most people, what I find, are a combination of the archetypes. They're not just one.
So how do we determine which category of archetypes might be applying to us?
Well, again, it's going to depend on which model you're looking at. when you were talking about Carl Jung before, he talked about the collective unconscious as being one aspect. You mentioned that. The unconscious as being another aspect, and the ego, as which is the equivalent in his terminology of the conscious mind, as being another aspect. He said that these are the three aspects, and they're divided into four different archetypes. So he had the simplest one here. He said, these aren't so much archetypes as they're a division of categories, and then his archetypes came after that. But he talked about the first is the social mask that we wear, that's called the persona. The second is the shadow self. You've heard psychology people talk about the shadow self. And Carl Jung wrapped everything up in sexuality and instincts, the anima. So he talked about the shadow self as being those parts of your sexual self and your instincts that are repressed in society. So he saw this as very much motivational in the subconscious mind, in your unconscious. Things like shortcomings you might feel about yourself, things that you're uncomfortable with displaying out in society, all those things that you would say are unacceptable are part of that shadow self. Then his third category is what he called the anima or animus, depending on if you were male or female. And that merely talked about those same shadow parts of yourself, which are going to represent somewhat differently if you're male versus female. And then the fourth category is the self itself, which really is about the, when you're pulling, if you can pull your, and he thought of this as the goal, if you can pull your conscious and unconscious minds together, if you can be the whole person where there's nothing left in the shadow part of yourself, when it's all there for your access, that's when you become whole, and that would be the self that's the whole man. So he simplified these by putting them into these four categories, and then he got very detailed, because then he divided those into 12 main archetypes. And those archetypes, you really have to study them to find out which one you might belong into, or ones, because it would definitely be more than one. His archetypes were the innocent, everyman, the hero, the outlaw, the explorer, the creator, the robber, the magician, the lover, the caregiver, the jester, and the sage. So you can see how complicated this all gets in his system. You can understand why people would go to school to become a psychologist for 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's a lot simpler, because of course I'm an astrologer, I think it's just a lot simpler to study astrology. You can have astrological archetypes, and by the way, there are definite overlaps. Carl Jung gives 12 main archetypes, which I just read out, and in astrology we have 12 astrological signs. And it is very easy to study and understand those signs. There are many books on it. You know, I wrote one, the Astrology, Art, and Science book, that's available on Amazon. And it does talk about the personality types of each one of the signs. And when you study those personality types, you're going to see yourself in your sign. It's really very obvious. It's easy to see. And those 12 archetypes in astrology overlap. They're not exactly the same, but they do overlap with the archetypes that Carl Jung created. That's why I was drawing attention to the fact that he was not just a psychologist, but also an astrologer, because I see definite correlations between the two systems. And for me, because I'm an astrologer, it's easier and more direct to just read about the sign than it is to look at, for example, the sign Aries and say, well, I can see Aries in the magician, because that makes a whole lot of sense. Aries is so independent and creative and wants to see the world and is adventurous. So, you know, these are two systems I think that'll work very closely together. So if somebody were going to study the archetypes as put forth by Carl Jung, I think going hand in hand by studying the astrological sign personality archetypes, I think is a good way to really get a better handle on the Jungian archetypes. But those aren't the only archetypes out there. It gets still more confusing. As I was looking through online and just getting a handle on this, there's somebody else who was a student of Jung, and I'm sorry, I can't recall the name, but that person drops the archetypes down into only seven, which I thought was rather interesting, because in according to Alice Bailey, there are seven rays of creation. And as you know from your studies of metaphysics, there are seven chakras in the physical body. So whoever this person is apparently is equating those archetypes to those seven rays and the seven chakras, okay, that energy of seven. But they utilize Carl Jung's system, just combining some of his archetypes. So this student of Jung says hero, mentor, threshold, guardian, I like that one, the herald, the shadow, the trickster, and the shapeshifter. So that might be maybe a little bit of a modernization there that throws in more metaphysical properties. The thing is, doesn't it get kind of confusing?
It gets very confusing. And then I look at Carolyn Mace's work, and she has like 40 archetypes, the addict, the advocate, the alchemist, the angel, the artist, the athlete, the avenger. I mean, it just goes on. There's about 40 of them. And I think about the 40 days and 40 nights, you know, that keeps showing up in the Bible. So I want to know more about archetypes and positive and negative qualities, or, you know, anyway, I've got a lot more questions for you, Sandy, that I would love to ask right after our first break. Okay, everybody, stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Just by being here, you've shown that you are an action taker and committed to your own growth and transformation. You believe that within yourself, you have everything you need to fulfill your dreams and overcome your life challenges. But how do you access all that? Sandy Anastasi is a psychic, astrologer, coach, and creator of the Anastasi System of Psychic Development. She has your answers. And a special offer for new clients and students. When you sign up for her free newsletter, you'll get a special gift that will help change your life, as thousands of people already have experienced, She will get you there. Go to www.sandyanastasi.com to sign up for Sandy's newsletter now.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You are with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Sandy Anastasi. So Sandy, we're talking about archetypes, and I just want to remind everybody that how to find you is by your name on your website, and Sandy is spelled the normal way with S-A-N-D-Y, and Anastasi is A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I. And again, you can always find that information on my website under on the radio page, always how to get a hold of guests, and it's also on the schedule page and all of our guest information. So, Sandy, when we have archetypes, are there positive ones and negative ones? Like some archetypes may, like the hero, and hopefully the hero only has positive traits, and then there's other archetypes that would maybe only have negative traits, or is everybody kind of a mixture in the archetypes of everything?
I think that, and this is a personal opinion, there might be some of your audience out there who disagrees with me, but I think that there are positive and negative sides to every one of the archetypes. And no matter what system and what type of archetype that you are studying or are saying, well, that's me, I think there are positive and negative attributes.
Well, it would make sense because all of us are comprised of positive and negative attributes, or I like to call them the gifts and the challenges.
That's you know? More friendly. That's definitely more friendly. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention, I talked about the student of Jung, and I want to apologize. I just was unable to find the author of this information, although I did look. But this is the person who gave the 7 archetypes. And what's really nice about this particular one is that it's going to be easy for your audience to find themselves. And I thought, I tried it with a few different people, and it seems pretty accurate to me. It's based on numerology, not nemology, but numerology. And anybody who's listening can do this. If you add up your month and your day and your year of birth, all in single digits, so for example, mine is June 20th, 1952, so I would add 6 plus 2 for the 20, skipping the zeros, of course, plus 1, plus 9, plus 5, plus 2, and I'd come up with a 25, and then I'd add the 2 plus the 5, and I'd come up with a single digit 7. So in this particular system, my archetype would be a 7, and that puts me as a shapeshifter. I gave out the names before, I'll give them out again. And the thing is, as a shapeshifter, it fits me because my astrological sign is a Gemini, and I'm very familiar with that as an archetype. And every Gemini is basically a shapeshifter. Geminis have the ability to form their personality to basically any situation that they find themselves in. So those archetypes are 1 is the hero, 2 is the mentor, 3 is the threshold guardian, 4 is the herald, 5 is the shadow, 6 is the trickster, and 7 is the shapeshifter. And the reason I'm giving those to your audience, I think your audience is like me. I love listening to theories and ideas, but I want meat. I want something that I can actually work with and apply, and I want to do that today. And so, again, how to find this is just by adding your month reduced to a single digit, plus your day reduced to a single digit, plus your year, all 4 letters or all 4 numbers reduced to a single digit. Then add those together. And if you come up with 2 digits, add those together so that you're finally ending up with a single digit. And that's your archetype. And of course, some people will say, well, what if, there are only 7 archetypes? What if my single digit is reduced to an 8 or a 9? Well, then you just carry it over. So an 8 would be the equivalent of 1, and a 9 would be the equivalent of 2. You just start over in that circle again.
Dan Millman has, the author of Peaceful Warrior, has also written a book using this system that you're just now describing.
So
he breaks it down, like you're a 7 and I'm a 7, but he breaks it down the difference between like somebody whose name adds up to a 25 and they get a 7, and somebody's name like mine that would add up to a 34 and then end up with a 7. Or a birthday, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he breaks it all down, and then he's very specific on what that means, what are the positives, what are the challenges, and gives a ton of information. It's a wonderful book.
I love that. That sounds great. That's one I'm going to put on my reading list for sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he does a fabulous job. During the next break, I'll see if I can run into the other room and grab it to give you the title also.
Awesome.
But I know it's by Dan Millman.
As you were just talking, one of the other things that came to mind is, your 7 is going to come up differently than my 7 because yours comes from the 34 and mine the 25. And now we're talking about numerology again, not nemology, but numerology. In numerology, most numerologists only work with the actual, the digits of the letter. So, for example, N, letter N, as in Nancy, is a 14, which they would reduce to a 5. So everybody would look at the N as a 5. But the N isn't a 5, it's actually a 14. And what's really interesting, because I also do numerology, and if you are, if you're looking at the numbers themselves as archetypes, right, in the alphabet, whatever the letter is, and no matter what language you're speaking, even ones that we can't read because they're written in a different format, like Japanese or Chinese, they're still letters. And each one is going to correspond to a numeric value. And that numeric value itself is an archetype. And that might actually be the basis of all archetypes, because as they say, vibration and numbers are vibration, just like sound is vibration, are the first universal language. So that's
right,
an interesting
and it's
concept
very powerful
to pursue too. Yeah.
So I would love, since we're a little bit off topic, but I want to go back to something that you said. When you said the N was 14 and it's also considered a 5, my understanding, and please correct me because this is not my field, that in numerology it's a 5, but in Germantia it's a 14. Or is that not accurate?
Well, it's the same thing. Okay, 14 is a 1 plus a 4 equaling a 5. So in numerology, most numerologists are reducing it to the final single digit because that's what they were taught. Years and years ago, when I didn't call it Montreal, whatever it is you just mentioned, I just realized as a numerologist that those numbers weren't the same. An E, which is also a 5, is not the same, obviously, as an N. There are two different vibrations there.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So when I do numerology, I actually work with the entire letter, the entire name. So I do it both ways. I reduce to that single digit, but I also look at all of the numbers behind. So, for example, in my own name, and I'm so happy to get to say this because I've never said this to anybody before, but my full name is a 33 over a 44 equaling a 77. Haha, how do you like that? Double digits.
Well, I think that's funny because my birth name was a 33, and my married name, my birth name was an 11, and my married name was a 33, and my current name is a 77.
And there are all those double digits. And they say, now this is in numerology, they say that the double digits are master numbers. And what I would say is that, and here's the difference between that, working with the full set of numbers, both digits versus the single digit. If you are dealing with life on a meat and potatoes level, and you're all wrapped up in the drama of your emotions, you're never going to experience your double digit, even if you have it. So if you have an 11, you're still going to relate to life as a 2. But if you are handling your emotions, if you've risen above the drama in your life, if you're working on your spiritual goals and your spiritual journey, for you, your 11 is going to be an 11. It'll be a master number. And what that really means in numerology is that you will have the capacity to be a whole entity, a complete and total entity in yourself, while giving complete and total support to a relationship with another person who is also whole and complete in themselves. And when you see that in numerology, someone who is in that relationship where they're actually responding as the master number 11, you get the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That those people in that relationship will be able to accomplish and achieve 100 times more than anyone else who is only dealing with their relationship life as a two.
You know what amazes me is what we know as kids that sometimes get taught out of us or we forget. And for an example, I came in and when I started a diary, it was just a way of getting out my emotions or my thoughts or whatever you want to call it. But over and over again, when I was 12 and 13, my common thread was, I have got to get control of my emotions. It was like so dominant in my thinking that was so imperative for me. And I think we come in knowing what we need to do if we're just listening to ourselves. And then to remember, that's the big thing, because you have so much influence from others and schools and society and books and whatnot. But what did we first tell ourselves when we were discovering who we were?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And now that leads us full circle back into the whole concept of archetypes. Because, Sharon, why have we evolved so many different systems for understanding so many different types of archetypes? And it's really because all of us, all of we humans, are really, really trying to know ourselves. That's one of, I think, the biggest motivations in people as they begin to open the door to their spirituality. They know there's something outside of them that they aspire to be more, but more than what? More than who? And so they're looking at themselves and saying, well, who am I really? What do I want to be more of? What do I want to change? Where do I want to grow? And in order to do that, I really have to get to know myself. So one of the very first things that I find with my students is they're joining in with my classes or my coaching because they want to get a better handle on themselves. And through understanding and working towards a better self, they can achieve a better life. And by achieving that better life, they completely alter the world around them.
Well, I've always wondered that if we don't know ourselves, then how can we love ourselves? And if we don't love ourselves, how can we possibly love someone else?
Oh, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. And that whole concept of self-love, what a can of worms that is, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, I was giving a reading just this morning. And I looked at it and I saw perfectionism in the dad's name. And then I saw receptivity, the way it shows up in a name to the child or the now adult. And I looked at her and I said, you know, the way your letters received from your dad with his perfectionism, you would have responded with, I'm not good enough. And if you're responding with that thought as a child, I'm not good enough, how do you come out to love yourself? You know, and then so that was what her reading was about. But I thought, how often do we take somebody else's opinion of us and have it cause us great consternation throughout our lifetime instead of coming back and saying, I'm a creation of God, and therefore I am one with God, and God loves me, and therefore I get to love me, period.
And that leads into something else that's more even up my alley. Later on this evening, I'm going to be teaching an introductory class in psychic development. And one of the biggest things I'm going to be talking about, you just described, I'm going to be talking about the psychic ability that we call empathy. And, you know, these days everybody is talking about empathy, but so few people really understand what it is. Going back to your description with the client you were working with, when that father is looking at that child as less than, not good enough, the child's not just picking up his words, and this is what your mnemology is showing, the child's actually empathically receiving the displeasure from her father because the father doesn't think she's good enough. Those things, when we're children, we learn empathically.
You know, and then it's always, how do we overcome that?
It's a hard one. Well, what happens with the whole concept of empathy here, everyone on our planet, mankind's empathy is waking up in spades. Everyone on our planet is an empath. We're walking sponges right now. That's what an empath is, an energetic sponge to other people's emotions. So if you grew up with a dad who is projecting at you, you're not good enough, you now have receptor points that are going to seek out friends, a mate, a boss, who are going to treat you the same way. So what you're really saying is, how do you change yourself from, how do you eliminate those receptor points? How do you stop allowing yourself to empathically receive those vibrations? How do you change who you are?
Yeah, well, in this particular client, in her name, and I look at it as an individual thing, but I said, you've just got to remind yourself that every time that feeling comes across, that that was his issue, not your issue. You took it on for him. Give it back.
Wonderful. And yeah. And now that has to extend from him to the boss, to the anyone in your life that you see as a father or a thought figure, which even could apply to some women, depending, you know, if you're seeing them as the authority. You get my point. So it can start with that parent, but it has to go out to everybody else you know that's going to try to fill that same receptor point. You got to get rid of that tendency you have to recreate the same pattern over and over again. And that leads us back to archetypes, because archetypes help us to understand the pattern that we have stepped into. It's not necessarily who we are, but it's the pattern that we've embraced in our life. And we keep behaving like that pattern over and over again, whether it's good for us or not.
I'm curious to know if we go through during some time in our life and become or experience every single archetype. I'll give you time to think on that one while we take our second and last break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You're with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and my special guest is Sandy Anastasi. And you can reach her via her website, which is her name, Sandy, spelt the normal way with a Y. And Anastasi is A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I. And I'll tell you, the best thing to learn a tremendous amount for anybody that's on a budget or anybody that wants to be really wise with how they use their finances is to join her membership program. And that way you've got access to all of her classes that she's recorded, and they're all there. I'm working my way through the astrology one right now, and then my next one on the list will be the tarot. But it's fascinating, and because she's got that skill in teaching and those teaching credentials, I mean, she's a fabulous teacher. She's easy to understand. I honestly think her membership program is the best deal on the planet. So, Sandy, coming back, the 12 archetypes are the... Do you believe we do a little bit of each one of those during one lifetime? Are we doing multiple lifetimes so we can delve into each one singularly? How do you suppose that's working?
One of the things that I think is absolutely beautiful about all of these systems is that the reason so many different systems that explore archetypes can exist is because they all work. The one that you're referring to right now that probably a lot of your listeners have heard about was the one put forth by Joseph Campbell, who was a philosopher but spent a lot of time with mythology, and he called his book, famous book, The Hero's Journey, and he took us from birth to death, and not necessarily all in the same order, but any process you would begin, and he moved you through different mythological characters. And many of those characters are similar to the Jungian archetypes, but of course he made them his own. And it was the journey of the soul as it moved through life. Now, I have an old tarot book the name of it is Evolution Through the Tarot by Richard Gardner. It's out of print right now, but phenomenal. It only does the major arcana, which is only part of the tarot deck. It's the major arcana part, the first 22 cards. But it takes those tarot cards and shows them as a pathway of the soul as it moves through life. So this concept that you just put forth, do we move through all of these archetypes in one life? There are definitely models out there that say, yes, we do. And then there are other models that say we do them, but we skip around. We don't necessarily do them all in the same order. And then there are a couple of models that say, no, you're just stuck where you're at, and that's what you're dealing with. You're that archetype. So, again, it's kind of take your pick, but they all do work. So I would say go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I would think if you're progressing and you're learning and growing as you go along, you would complete one or be satisfied that you've learned enough about one, and then you'd go to the next one. On the other hand, there's specialists, like for doctors and different things, and you may want to become a specialist just in one for one lifetime.
Right, right. And then there are also different levels, and you've probably seen this. I think you're a Libra, correct?
It depends on whether you're doing Western or Eastern.
In Western astrology, then you're Libra, okay.
Right.
What you would have seen is that at different times of your life, you were doing a different part of the Libra journey. So, you know, when you were a young child, there might have been a whole lot of having to find somebody to get into a group with so that you could know that you were on the right side. Libras will have a tendency to do that when they're young, when they're undeveloped. And then you go through various steps, and, you know, towards the end of your journey, now all of a sudden you're getting people who are attracted to you because they want you to teach them how to be able to relate to other people in a diplomatic fashion. It's really kind of interesting. So Libras, you'll see at different times of their life, and I don't even want to say their life, their journey, because they will do the journey at their own pace. But there are definite evolutionary milestones that you can actually see, whereas, you know, one Libra who's towards the end of their understanding, who's now become the teacher of the Libra energy, is going to be attracting all of these Libras who are undeveloped, who are still fighting the war. And you're going to say, huh? You know, okay, well, I guess I have to teach them. So yeah, there's maybe we can go through all the signs at different times in our life. And there are some astrologers who actually look at astrology that way. Or we can look at one sign and see us evolving through the different aspects of that sign during our life. And the same thing is true of every other one of these disciplines that use an archetype, which is basically everything. I hope your listeners are realizing that. All you have to do is look at any discipline that you want to study to learn about yourself, and before long you're going to discover that it's based on archetypes.
Yeah, and there's so many people that have done incredible work around archetypes. Yourself, for an example, Dan Millman, the book that I had mentioned earlier is called The Life You Were Born to Live, because he's a prolific author, and that's the one that has all of that information on the archetypes and your birthday numbers. And then Carolyn Mace has done an incredible amount of work on archetypes, and she's developed her own system and even has a book out that's just called Archetypes. It seems that it keeps coming back. And I look at in school when they so push the Romans and our history of the mythology. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I think they're really teaching us archetypes.
Yeah.
When they're teaching us the mythology.
We can learn so much about ourselves by studying those archetypes. We really can. Very few people in my experience really have the ability to step outside of themselves and see themselves objectively. But when you're studying a system that's using these archetypes and you say, well, that's not me, and then later on someone does something or says something and you see yourself responding in the same way the archetype would, and you say, oh. So I honestly think their purpose, there's a tremendous purpose behind them. Their purpose is to help us to understand ourselves. And usually we need, when we're first starting that journey, we need to have some definition of self, because as you pointed out earlier, it's a good likelihood that the definition of self we got from the life and family experience that we had early in life wasn't really the best experience for most of us, okay? Because children are reflecting their parents, they're reflecting their families, they're reflecting the outer world, and the outer world is acting upon them. So life experience, in a sense, is what's creating that archetype that you find yourself living in. But is that really you?
Well, and I look at it too, that as a kid, especially in elementary school, I could not read enough people's biographies. And my thought process was, if I read people's biographies, then I will learn what errors they made, and I will make different ones because I will have learned from theirs not to do those.
Wow.
You know, and I look back now and I think all those different biographies, if I had just read archetypes, I could have probably gotten that information a whole lot faster.
But what you're telling me is that's what you were really doing. In reading all those biographies, you were creating your own archetypes. You were creating your own system. When I act like this, I act like this particular person. When I act like this, I act like that person. When I respond like this, I'm that other person. You are creating your own archetypes.
Well, I think for a lot of children, it's very difficult our growing up. You know, we're learning from everybody, and it seems like a lot of people are very critical, or the method was, if I point out what's wrong, then you'll know how to do it right. But all we ever hear is, I can't do anything right because everybody's always pointing out what I'm doing wrong, you know? And I think part of reading about other people's lives was an escapism, you know, I'll get into their life instead of having to look at mine. But the other thing was, it was really learning how to get along with people, or what people did and what caused them to make certain decisions.
Yes,
you know, I always
fabulous.
Found that fascinating. Is why do we choose this way over that way? You know? And so does every category of our life have an archetype, do you think, that we can relate it to an archetype?
I absolutely do. And that's another thing that really helps. And you really hit upon that beautifully. Supposing somebody's, you know, in a relationship and they're going through a divorce. and maybe they don't have a therapist or close friends or family to talk to. Well, if they have an archetype in their arsenal, their bag of tricks to understand how somebody else went through this and got back and established a healthy life for themselves afterwards and were able to have a healthy relationship sometime in the future, that healthy archetype can be a roadmap for them to step forward into a healthy future. So I think archetypes can help literally to point our way. We can use them.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, again, our time has flown by. I want to remind everybody to have a session with you. I find your readings absolutely powerful, and you get so much information in such a short period of time. And so you've got to re-listen to them again and make sure that you picked up everything that was said, because you're just giving information solidly all the way through. I want to remind everybody, if the easiest way to connect with Sandy is through her website. Again, it's sandyanastasi.com, S-A-N-D-Y, normal way for Sandy. Anastasi is A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I. And thank you once again, Sandy, for taking your time to join us.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me. This is always fun, enlightening, just one of the highlights of my month. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Next week, we're going to talk about duality and what keeps our thinking locked in duality and what causes it to come into wholeness or oneness, and how do we go about that. And our guest next week will be Sherry Anshara. Sorry, I always get these names confused. They're so similar. But it's Sherry Anshara is going to be with us next week. You know, we're going to end our show with this wonderful song by Dee Lamore called Shine. I find it so uplifting and so beautifully done. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.
The sun rays on a shimmering